Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and this is Carl from Incredibly Strange Television, Incredibly Strange Films, Film and Stuff, Deviant Legion, all that sort of stuff. You all know that. Today, we're going to be continuing our Doctor Who series, and this particular series now, we're going to be doing commentary watches from the reboots, and then we'll probably get into classic also a little later. And today with us is Vicki Love. Nice to have you along with us, Vicki.
Well, thanks, Carl, since I've been here since the first Doctor Who episode that we've done.
This is true, but we are missing someone today, and I just want everyone to know that Rachel will not be with us because she is in the process of moving. And so we all wish her well this weekend as she moves into her new house, and she'll be joining us later. But Vicki and I asked Vicki specifically to pick our first commentary watch. So tell us what we're going to be watching and why you picked it.
Okay. It's hard to choose. In a Doctor Who universe, it's hard to choose which episode is really, really good enough for people to listen to a podcast and watch it at the same time. Because when I start watching Doctor Who, I just get really involved in it, involved in the story, what's going on. Doctor Who is very kinetic. So anyway, I had a hard time choosing, but ever since this aired, I have always thought that it is the perfect ending to the Doctor Who reboot, because we have Peter Capaldi, as with the other Doctors, all lamenting the fact that even though his spirit lives on and he does remember things from his other lives, that now he has to give up this life to regenerate. You know, something always happens where he has to regenerate, and most of the time it is saving the life of a human, most of the time. And so this time Capaldi doesn't want to, and as he is stuck on this planet going to regenerate, a very strange thing happens. Time stops, and he doesn't know why time stops, so his regeneration stops. And so he goes outside, and he meets his self. He meets his first self, and that first self is William Hartnell, but, of course, William Hartnell has passed away. That was 1963, 1962. So we have the brilliant David Bradley playing the first Doctor. And it's incredible. Once he puts the wig on, he is no longer Walder Frey, of whom I hated in Game of Thrones. I mean, I hated him. So did a lot of other people. But he becomes the first Doctor. And it's not even movie magic. It is just makeup magic, and that he just looks so much like William Hartnell. And so it is just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant Doctor Who story making. And and the way that they have this chemistry with each other and kind of don't like each other, but, you know, if we had to look at our younger selves, and those of you who are too young to understand that, once you get older and you think about your younger self, you're like, oh, Jesus, what an ass I was. You know, sometimes, you know. But, you know, the thing is, he's not looking at his younger self, and there's a joke about this in there. He's looking at his older self, but the one that started everything. And so it's just a really good way to end the whole reboot and Stephen Moffat wrote it, and he wrote it with such care and love. Now, the reason why I say that that's the end of the reboot is because after that we have the Chibnall series, and nobody is going to say that Chibnall carried on with the essence of the reboot, because he didn't. His stories were different. His stories are kind of weird. They're not really the Doctor Who reboot stories. And so, yeah, sure, they brought in guest stars and all that kind of stuff, but it just didn't work. So having this as the end of the Russell Davies and Stephen Moffat reboot is perfect. And so that's why
And that those are really good reasons. And we'll get more into the writing and into the performances as we go along watching this particular episode. Now, just so everyone knows, it's on HBO Max. And you have to go and you have to get to the 10th series. And you go to episode 13. Okay? And it's called The Christmas Special 2017, Twice Upon a Time. And that's where we are. And actually, we're right past the BBC logo. And at least on my screen, it says previously on Doctor Who. And
mine
that's
does
where we're
mine says
start.
709 episodes ago. 709
okay, well,
episodes ago.
I'm like 2 seconds behind you. So I can work with that. That's no problem.
Okay.
One thing I do have to tell you, Vic, is I don't know if you have HBO in terms of no commercials, but I do not. So there may be some commercials.
I don't know if you can get HBO with commercials, not HBO Max. It's just fee, the highest fee out there, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, depletes my my bank account by a lot every month. But I still find HBO. Up until this whole Warner Brothers thing, okay, it's just beginning, so I don't know what's going to happen after that. But HBO has always been the most quality of everything, even surpassing Disney, and Apple can't come close to it. Apple does really well in rising up to the HBO quality, but HBO is consistent over the decades of putting out fantastically great stuff. Just watch Chernobyl. Just watch The Last of Us that came out, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And and you'll just see the quality compared to a Netflix show it's stellar. It's so far beyond. It's good
mm-hmm.
film. So anyway,
so
HBO has never
so
had
commercials.
So all
I have commercials. I have commercials. So I may say
you have
commercials
on your?
Yes.
Wait.
I do.
You have commercials on your HBO?
Yes.
Oh, crap.
You
what
can,
am I going to do?
Yeah. Simple.
What do I
when
do?
When I say commercials, it is simple. Listen to me. What you do is when I say commercial, you just stop. And then when I say commercial over, you start again. And if we're a couple seconds behind or something like that, it's not a problem. I've seen this episode. I can keep up with you. So that's not a problem.
Okay. Well, commercials run longer than a couple of seconds.
Well, generally it's about 15 seconds. So it's not too bad. All right?
Are they HBO commercials? Wait, now I'm curious. Wait, stop. I'm curious. And so is everyone out there who doesn't believe in commercialism. Are they HBO commercials about
yes,
what's coming up on
HBO? They are HBO commercials. Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. Okay. Anyway.
But it's what it is. So we're going to start here. I'll go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Okay. And when I say commercial, just go ahead and pause for a second, and I'll say commercial's over, okay?
Okay.
All
I
right.
started mine.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. I'm at like 10 seconds. So this is actually a footage from the original. This is William Hartnell here.
Well, that was William Hartnell, and he morphs into...
Right.
David Bradley.
Mm-hmm. I love the old
And
Cyber-
this is the new Polly, and this is the new Ben.
Mm-hmm. God, he looks exactly like him.
I know. I know. That's what's so crazy and good. You know, Stephen Moffat was probably watching Game of Thrones and going, geez, David Bradley looks like William Hartnell.
Yeah. Long time ago at the South Pole, the doctor refused to regenerate.
Yeah, don't read the bullshit.
Okay, gotcha.
That they put.
Now, one thing I got to say is that the interplay between these two is absolutely priceless.
Yeah, they have great chemistry, but they're both great actors.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that he pretends like he doesn't know. Because
right.
He always used to do that, especially with Barbara and Ian. They'd say something, and he'd know they were right, and he'd pretend like he didn't hear them.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor does that sometimes throughout all his regeneration.
You know, and of course, he's saying it right here. The first doctor doesn't regenerate, and there's no Capaldi. There's
right.
None of them.
There's none of them.
I love this visual of the snow stopped.
Are you there?
Now,
am I that far behind
yeah,
you?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I adjusted.
There.
I probably adjusted too much.
Why did you adjust?
Because I was behind you.
Okay, sorry, audience.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay, yeah. And this part. And, you know, Mark Gatiss wrote many, many, many episodes of Doctor Who. And especially
right.
with Stephen Moffat, because they're very good friends. And they work really well together. So it's absolutely perfect that Mark Gatiss would be in this episode. And I'm
yes.
sure he co-wrote it. Without credit. And then also what they did was they chose a moment in history that is unique.
And
so
we'll get
when,
to that later because that
well,
that's
yeah.
why this is a that's why this is a
okay.
Christmas episode.
Okay, and the thing is that when you choose a moment in history that is fixed and can't be changed, that has played into the story of Doctor Who many, many times. And Peter Bennett
and I always
all
have
the
to
reboot.
Say something about the score, which is so iconic, and We now
Rachel
Talalay
has
side.
Been involved in Doctor Who, producing, writing, directing, all the way through the reboot, too. Okay, go ahead
mm-hmm.
with your music. Go ahead.
Yeah, Delia Derbyshire is the one who wrote this. And she's now been credited, which is wonderful. This really sets this up too. And by the way, the director is Rachel Talalay, who's
That's one of the best directors.
Yeah.
No, no, she's not just does one of the best directors. She is also a producer of Doctor Who and has been involved in the reboot all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I like that bird in the stuck in time.
Yes.
And now, you know, what's really cool is that once we move away from this, we forget about this being, this ghost being.
Mm-hmm.
Once we move from there, and all of that is foreshadowing,
yeah.
There's a
That's
because
a great shot.
That yeah, that moment in history is one of those fixed moments. So a timeline error means a fixed moment is being messed up, which produces paradoxes of which none of us want, even Time Lords.
Mm-hmm.
And since he walked through that, okay, these built-in jokes are just the best.
Okay, I'm a little behind you now, but that's okay.
Oh. Did you try to fix it again?
No, actually, no. I had a little bit of buffering. You know, this interplay between the two doctors and that is just priceless. You know, it's so wonderful that we have this humor, and again, this is the writing too.
Well, yeah, of course, but this is what makes Doctor Who beloved by so many people, is that it's not total serious and it's not total comedic, it's not adolescent at all, but it has, it never takes itself too seriously, which sometimes when science fiction and fantasy come together and take itself too seriously, you get some kind of horrible thing like Rings of Power.
Okay, we know how much you dislike Rings of Power. We've talked about that before, but God, keep it going.
I will always bring it up when I need an example of something really horrible.
You know, one of the things I really love about this is take it from the perspective of someone who's watching the reboot and has never seen the classic. And David Bradley is doing such a great job. I want to go back and I want to go back to the Hartnell era and check it out. And I think that's
right.
That's a wonderful thing here.
Well, you know, there's also the directing is so good because Rachel Talalay is so good at the camera, where she wants the camera angle. Because those are the same camera angles on Bradley that were on Hartnell when he, you know, back in the beginning. And the brandy joke is runs throughout the whole Doctor Who also.
Yes. My nurse.
Now a lot of people complain that he was too sexist in this episode, but I think that's part of the joke.
Well, no shit. This is so stupid. The woke people need to just kind of catch up with the rest of us. They need to grow up. They're showing the difference between 1963 and 2020 or whatever. Okay?
2017.
Duh. 17, 18, yeah. But anyway, the whole thing is, how many decades? It's so dumb.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with the lights?
Six episodes. Right? I think this dialogue with him is just hysterical.
Okay, so, and this isn't the first time the TARDIS has been grabbed and brought onto a ship or back to Earth or whatever. So we're seeing a lot of the same things that happened to the Doctor over and over again through the years in this episode, which makes it even more fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I can tell you, we're coming up on a commercial. Not there yet, but probably within a minute.
Okay.
Now, we're going to be introduced to another character here.
Yeah,
very
Rachel
soon.
The character is...
Yeah.
You know, you always ruin the tension, don't.
It's a commentary. Okay, commercial.
Oh, I see why that would be a commercial.
Hey, Mom. Hello? My good neighbor...
And it's a State Farm commercial, by the way, so it's not just HBO. Okay, we're back.
So is First Doctor exiting the TARDIS?
Yes, we are exactly on point here.
I love how they let the camera pick up all the light effects that cameras pick up on the lens. You know, there's to make it more like a dreamy state.
You know, Rachel Talalay started directing one of the Freddy Krueger's Elm Street sequels, and she went on to Tank Girl, and that basically ran into so much trouble with that. She then started work with Doctor Who because they gave her a lot of leeway. And she's been doing a lot with Doctor Who ever since, and it's the best thing they've done. She's tremendous. Oh, God. Here we go.
See, I would be the same exact way that he is right here.
Yeah.
This all seems so real to me.
This is... now, listen, Bill Potts is one of my favorite characters and companions. And, she went through hell. And you'll find out what happened to her here.
She just said...
My friend Bill Potts died of that. She gave her life.
I love that line. Oh, you're bleeding a little bit, my dear.
That's because I'm not talking.
Uh-huh.
And I'm listening to yours. I can hear yours.
Okay, okay, hold on. I can do this.
And
that
no,
better?
No, I want to be able to hear yours. Don't.
Okay, done. The whole thing with the sonic screwdriver, too.
Right,
again,
the first doctor never had one.
Right.
And I don't remember if the second doctor got his halfway through. I don't remember. Should look that up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if Pertwee had one. So it might have shown up with Baker.
Mm-hmm. There is something wonderfully playful about Capaldi.
Yes, always. And that's what makes him different from his first self. Is
right.
The first doctor is always very serious. He's very curious, and he's got a kind heart. But he's very serious.
Nice. So now you know what happened. You know, they're explaining it. You're just a little bit ahead of me, and I still hear you.
If I adjust this down,
there you go.
I have a.
Talk a lot about the captain. Of course, it is Mark Gatiss, but the character. There's something, you know, right there where he offers his life for Bill shows you something
right.
About the character. And
well, not just the character,
that,
but the era.
Right, but I'm specifically talking about the character because we find out who he is later.
Right.
Escape. This is something.
Yeah.
And you see all the previous doctors very briefly. So that's one thing I really like about Doctor Who is that it's all connected. Even though it's lasted 60 years, the continuity really works extremely well. Yeah, there's
Peter
been
Gann
a couple of retcons. Yeah, there's been a couple of retcons
the
over
doctor.
The years. But...
Yeah, well,
they cut out all the jokes.
Bill just keeps smiling.
Yeah.
And the captain, he's like, what the heck? This is what's so great.
Come on.
He's got his Loki. Just like it's another of the same Doctor.
Yeah.
And that music is perfect.
Yes. Wonderful.
Looks just like the old TARDIS. I mean, looks just like it's supposed to. Oh, he's now starting to like the boxes.
Yeah. This is great.
Don't say that.
Oh. Oh, when it gets to that, you would think he'd catch on by now, but, you know, time travel just really wasn't a common topic back in World War I.
I think this is great with Bradley as with the glasses on. It's like,
I know. Wait. Wait for it. Never take those off. Then the question, whoosh, they go off.
Yep.
It's so great. Mark Gatiss's face right there.
Yep.
Look at that. It looks kind of like a Dalek eye.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, this one. He's like that. Wait for it. I love Capone's look.
Oh, Good Lord.
LGBTQ to the rescue.
Yep.
We're about ready for a commercial.
Of course, because the most interesting of all characters shows up.
Yep. And no commercial. They didn't do a commercial. That's a good thing.
How about that?
Great, great matte painting there. Fantastic matte work.
And CGI. And
oh,
practicals.
Yeah.
Practicals,
yeah.
Man.
They,
Doctor, what would Doctor Who be without its practicals?
Mm-hmm.
After creating our own practicals for our film, I love them.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
more in love with them than ever.
I'm a big, big practical fan. Much more than CGI.
I mean, see, you can tell that that's a stage and everything, but who cares? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Who cares? Look at it, the way it's lit with the red light and the white light. I mean, the really pure white light, you know? It's just really great. Because, like, with our lighting, we could do yellow, we could do orange, we could do pure white.
I love this line, too. Yeah. I love this too. The interplay is absolutely wonderful between the three of them. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. He knows that can't happen. That's why his expression is like that.
Yeah.
But it's always the Cybermen that take, like, Danny Pink just kills me. And then Bill,
yeah.
It just kills me.
Yeah, it really killed me with Bill. You know, the nice thing, too, is Bill holds her own with the old one easily. And, of course, you see
this
here.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And, of course, she did with the doctor when she was a companion.
Right. Well, yeah, because we're trying to remind the audience that this is not Bill Potts and that the doctor's not being stupid or mean or cruel.
Right.
Uh-oh. Regeneration.
Yep.
See, doctor never admits that.
No.
Yeah. See, you already know just by the beam what that is up there.
Yeah.
If you're a Doctor Who fan.
Right.
Now, if you're running through them for the first time, it's definitely a mystery.
When I first saw this episode, I didn't get it until it's actually shown. I kind of got it, but wasn't sure.
Well, the very second episode of Doctor Who was The Dead Planet.
Right.
And it was the very first time. The Doctor almost dies in that. So does everyone,
yeah.
Susan, Ian, and Barbara. They almost all die. And then this part right here.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the shadow of Bill Potts right there was the shadow of the glass person.
Yes.
That's great. Your brain sees it, but you don't.
Right.
Showing the clock. It's great directing.
Yeah. This is a wonderful speech too. Everybody gets their moment in this particular episode.
Yep. And that's what the glass creatures are looking for anyway, is what his little speech right there. That's their whole purpose.
Right.
I've never known the first Doctor to ever stay where he's supposed to.
Yeah.
Now, here she comes again because she got what she wanted.
See, once he says that line, then I knew what it was.
Right. Right. Yep, and he knows right there, too.
No. Love this line.
See all those white tubes there? That is reminiscent of the tubes when the first with the ninth Doctor, when he's putting all those tubes together and they're fighting the Daleks on the space station.
Captain, we need you. I'm sure you're to have
See, he's distracted.
Yeah.
And this is not, Bill would not do this. Yeah. Yeah, huh. She's the glass creature there. She's not really Bill.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Yes. Oh, you're a good Dalek, my dear.
I know. I practice voices. I love them. I do. I love them. And they have such iconic lines, all of them.
Oh, absolutely. Exterminate. Not
just, it's not just exterminate, though. They have other lines that are just...
Oh, absolutely. I love this, too.
This is his speech.
Yes.
There's some kind of logic, some various force.
One of the things I do like about Bill is you know, in England there is a class difference in her language, bloke, for example. I really like that.
The doctor doesn't understand. The closest the doctor ever came was Rose, Amy, and Clara.
Mm-hmm. And we don't talk about the glass woman, but she's really good in this too.
Her voice.
I love
cream.
Her voice. Freaking love
like
her voice. Mm-hmm. It's not an evil plan.
Right, now he gets the lecture.
Yeah.
No.
You know he has to die. He's not in the way the entire place. The correct view. He's not dying. Let us take him back. How was this our fault? You and me.
That is beautiful. That is freaking beautiful. I got to find that picture.
Yeah.
I need that picture in my picture file.
There you go. And that we're going to find out.
Everybody's important.
Life would be up for Christmas.
thought the light bulb was gone off.
It always does.
It always does. The light bulb went off. And you can tell with Capaldi. He has that twinkle or something in there that you know, ah, I get it. I know what to do now.
They all do. That's, I think, how they, in their auditions, they become doctor.
Yeah. There's a wonderful speech earlier in an earlier episode where Capaldi talks about fairy tales and how they need to be real.
Yeah, you're right.
Lethbridge Stewart.
Yep.
And Capaldi,
my favorite.
It's like, oh my God, that's who it is. Now, for those of you that don't know the earlier episodes,
the
he
classic,
becomes a major clerk. Particularly in the Pertwee, starting with Pertwee and onward from there.
No, not starting. He starts actually in Troughton.
Oh,
as,
okay.
As the God, I can't think right now.
A colonel or something like that. Yeah.
No, he's not the colonel. He's the brigadier.
Lieutenant.
Brigadier.
Oh, okay.
But he's not a brigadier.
Here,
it's right before.
Now, you need to know your history here because this actually happened.
See, if it was still night, then these two would die.
Right.
But because it's morning, Christmas morning.
No.
Probably the only time in history that the Christian Christmas morning actually meant life.
Yes. And by the way, being German, that was actually the German word, the silent night. Still enough.
Right. Right, it was, well, you wouldn't think they'd be unauthentic.
Yeah.
See? And when he says 1914, it just blows my mind that I learned this when I was in high school, and now it's been almost 110 years since this happened. I guess that's how old we are. But when we first learned this in high school, it had only been, what, 60 years?
Yeah.
That's bizarre,
now,
huh?
I think it was junior year. You're absolutely right. It would be 1974 when I learned about
American history.
This. Yeah.
The American history.
Actually,
I learned
world
it
history.
In 10th grade.
World.
No,
I learned
in 10th grade, whatever that was. Because I remember my teacher. She was of German descent, and she loved teaching the wars.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best teachers ever. And also, you know, World War One is still referred to as the most brutal of all wars.
Yes.
You know, the gas. I mean, it was trench warfare. Feet, the skin just dripping skin off of it. You know, it's just a horrible thing. They wore regular clothes out to war, and the war machine had turned mechanical, just a horrible, horrible thing.
And again, the nice
That's
thing
fine.
About this,
in
particular with Hartnell, is that in Hartnell's era, it was, you know, it was historical. They worked on historical. So this is a nice nod to that era.
Right. And Mark Gatiss, he's he one of his hobbies is history.
Mm-hmm.
I love his hat. Oh my God, I love everything
yeah.
about him. His cape, everything. I love the First Doctor.
And I'm particularly fond of the 12th Doctor and his way of dressing also.
Oh God, yes. If he doesn't have like the most gorgeous clothes,
yeah.
those boots. Oh my God, I love his boots. But then again, I'm a boot person. I have like, and then of course I have Scottish in me, and the doctors, most of the doctors have been Scottish.
And of course Capaldi is Scottish, so.
Yes, which just. When they chose him, I was, like, thrilled, because that's when I found out that my lineage, my last name actually goes back to old Scotland.
One thing I do have to say about Capaldi, when he was first announced
that.
As doctor, as the doctor, is I loved him since Local Hero. And I've been following him. Now, that's actual footage of Hartnell.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
From 63, transmuting into Troughton.
Right. And the whole thing is that when you're watching it on BritBox or BBC, all you're going to see is a really nice version of the animated.
Right.
Because the film, not the voice, but the film has been lost.
Now we're going to get into a part that basically makes me just tear the fuck up. Okay?
Dazzling.
Okay, here we go. Okay, I'm starting to tear up now.
I love that line.
Yeah. Ah, Nardal.
I already died.
I love Nardal too. Loved him.
Yes, he always speaks bluntly.
I'll tell you, it was Joshua.
Do you understand? It's a bad show.
This is such a great last lines of his. It's like incredible.
You know, my mom's pretty old, and most everyone in her life is gone.
Yeah.
When you get to be a certain age, even your pets are gone, even your brother is gone.
My sister is gone.
This is the speech for the people who are older.
Cuddle.
And he finally embraces Cuddle. God. You know, they leave, and that was a foreshadowing.
Yes.
For those who don't get it. They leave. If he was actually going to not regenerate, they would have stayed.
Right. One of
and
the greatest
was,
final speeches of all time. Yeah.
That was Clara's line he just used. Silly old universe, silly old man.
Yeah. I'll say something at the end of this after the episode is over. And I'll ask you a question.
Yeah, okay.
Foolish. Children.
The bells in the back, in the background,
yeah,
are important. During the war doctor, they were chiming.
Yes.
And that was right before Matt Smith regenerated into Capaldi.
Right.
Look how handsome he is.
He
is. Kind. And the colors. Mm-hmm. You know, he's so classic. He's so classical. And then Chibnall opts for this goofy. The goofy look, the goofy acting, it just doesn't fit the goofiness of it.
Well, you know, we should probably discuss the Whitaker era at one point
There's
or another.
There's the Rose music right there. That's the Rose music. I have all this music. Coleman would have been better in this role. There, I said it.
Yep.
And that goofy smile. I mean, she has a really beautiful smile and everything, but the doctor has never been beautiful. And I don't know. She just doesn't fit. And see, even the TARDIS is trying to spit her out.
Yeah.
TARDIS is like, no, this regeneration is wrong. Which is all wrong. This is just all wrong. So. Ben and Polly, Annika Willis.
Yep. So the nice thing, it was only one commercial.
Well, that was pretty good. Well, sometimes, like on whatever one I have commercials on, I don't know, they skip the commercials sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do, and that's what happened here.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And we're going all the way back to the classic, to the reboot.
Yes.
I consider that the best of the regenerations. I think it's written so well, and the final speech of Capaldi is just so magnificent. When it comes to regenerations, I think that's the best one. Would you agree, or would you like to nominate another regeneration?
No, I think I've watched them all so many times. I think that one's the best one, followed by,
mm-hmm.
The Ninth Doctor, Eccleston, he had a really good speech at the end.
Yeah.
And saying goodbye to Rose and trying to get her prepared for the fact that it's still going to be him, but it's going to be different. And that's a really good regeneration also. So into Tennant. And so, no, that one's the best because throughout the history of, and this is why, it's because of the history. The history of the Doctor is he only gets 12 regenerations, and the 13th is special. And there's a couple of explanations for it, and a couple of them go back into the Matt Smith, I think. I'm not really sure. And I think that in the Whitaker explains it a little bit too. But, and so everyone expected that the 12th Doctor was going to be the last Doctor for a while, which in fact it really was because of what happened with Chibnall and Whitaker. And look at how long it's taken them to reboot it back, and we won't even know if it's good until... what, next year? So
yeah, and plus also the way they rebooted, they went back to a previous Doctor's face.
Right.
So that's
well,
odd
the whole
too.
Thing. Yeah, so the whole thing is just, really different. And that kind of that, going back to the old Doctor's face, Tennant's face, that should have happened like right here at the 13th
mm-hmm.
Doctor. And just not just because, and the whole gender thing. I don't want my Doctor Who to be a female. I have fought for women's rights ever since I was a child and understood that women were considered second-class citizens. And if you don't think that, then time machine yourself back into being a girl in the 1960s. It was horrible. Absolutely. We couldn't even wear pants. Okay, we weren't allowed to wear pants anywhere. We had to wear dresses all the time. So anyway, this whole woke gender thing just pisses me off because nobody really knows what it was like to be a woman back then except for us old people. And so making this whole forced thing of the gender, the forced thing of it, Jodie Whittaker is forced. Now, if you look at the picture that I stopped it on season 11, chapter 1, episode 1, and
mm-hmm.
so you see that there's another female doctor there. Now, if the regeneration would have been into this woman And the story would have not been so goofy and fantastic. It may just have worked, but they chose the wrong person, and the wrong person as the doctor, and the wrong person to carry on. Chibnall was coming off of some really high notes on drama, and then he went completely to the opposite end of goofiness, and it just didn't work.
Now, there are some things in the Whittaker era that I did like, particularly one of the companions. But generally, it just didn't gel. It just didn't gel. And I
right.
think one
I
of
like
these
Grant.
Days we ought to get a couple. I agree. I think we ought to get a couple people really sit down and talk about the Whittaker era. And
yeah,
maybe
what
actually
happened?
Find someone. What?
Yeah, what happened? Why was it so bad?
Exactly. Or, you know, actually find somebody who actually likes the Whittaker. So we have a different voice.
No, I can't. I won't be a part of that. No, I'm not trying to be mean. Here's the thing. No matter what they say, they're probably one of these younger, woke people. And no matter what you say about Doctor Who, the embodiment of 60 years of this show, that person is going to say, you don't like gender fluidity. You are an old feminist and the new feminists are different. They're going to bring in the politics of it, because every single person I've ever talked to who likes the Whittaker always brings the politics in. And I just won't do that.
Okay. I can understand that.
Yeah, because those who like Whittaker's, the Chibnall Whittaker, I haven't found anyone of the older group of people who like it, who have watched Doctor Who and know classic Doctor Who. I just don't know. There's just not, there's too much wrong with it to make it, okay, cool. And I bought them all. I've bought every single, excuse me, you know, I have not said this, but I bought in my Amazon Prime, I have all the Whittaker, including the one special or two specials, whatever they are. I bought them all. I spent money on that. So I have the complete Doctor Who at my disposal from the beginning of Hartnell all the way through to the end of Chibnall when we see Tennant's face.
By the way, that particular episode is the one Jodie Whittaker episode I freaking love. And of course, it's not because of Jodie Whittaker. It's because of who they bring back.
Yeah, but how can you love a whole episode when it just has Tennant at the end?
Well, it's not Tennant I'm talking about.
Oh, who are you talking about?
It's Sophie Aldred and it's Tegan and Ace. See both of them. It's just fantastic. And you know what I think of Ace. Ace is my favorite companion. Always will be. Because she kicks ass. Seriously.
But why does... okay.
No. Ask your question. Why does what?
Why do women have to kick ass? And it did. It started with Ace. I love the fact that all my life women have been called stupid and second-class citizens. But in Doctor Who, we've had... Rowena, Time Lord, females, very smart. Zoe could do math in her head. She was just a mathematical wizard. And so Doctor Who has always respected the fact that women, Barbara was a teacher and she knew things and she taught the first doctor the value of women and women's opinion and their intelligence. And so Doctor Who has always been diverse. There's always been diversity in Doctor Who. And so trying to force it in the Chibnall Whitaker was just wrong, because they were trying to fix something that didn't need to be fixed. That's the problem,
okay.
Right there is the problem. They were trying to fix something. They were trying to ride the woke tsunami, and it smacked them in the face. Because there's nothing wrong with those companions.
They've always respected women. They've always respected
always.
Women. Actually. You know,
David Tennant.
Go ahead.
There's that David Tennant one, the other doctor. And that was a Christmas special. And his companion was a black woman who stood on her own. And that was what? In around 2009, 2010, I don't know, 2011,
like
whenever Tennant changed.
Yeah.
And so when somebody criticizes Doctor Who as not being diverse enough, it's because they don't like the fact that the Doctor himself is a man, a male person. And you know, I'm sorry, but without male and female, there are no babies. I don't care who you are and what you are personally, but if you deny the fact that human beings need a male and a female to have a baby, then there's something wrong. And so pushing that kind of idea onto the Doctor Who ruined it.
Well, you know, it's funny. You talk about diversity. Look at Bill. Bill was the, you know, look at Bill. And I mentioned Ace. Ace was the first female companion who really was physically up for anything. Okay. And she also loved explosives. And of course, you know, I've always been privy to strong females in terms of that. You know, when I was, you know, younger, and there was Pam Grier and so on and so forth. And I've always loved that. That's one of the reasons I love Ace, because she represented a different type of woman that needs to be represented on Doctor Who. You know, and
right.
I think that's great.
Right. I agree. You know, she would take a baseball bat to Daleks. That's original, in fact. And so, I mean, that actually goes back to the very first Dalek show, when they destroyed their very first Dalek and found out that there was a creature on the inside. And so, there's no way that anyone can make an argument that at least this show, in its entirety, has not been diverse. And so...
And let's just step away from women for a second and talk about racial diversity and everything else in this show, too. I mean, it's always been forward-looking as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Because, you know, the Doctor is... who the Doctor is. He's between the people he goes to help, the people who are villains, just all the side characters are never, ever strictly white. Okay?
No.
We'll just step in it. They're not. They don't have strictly white characters for everything. And so... that's where you're pushing the envelope, especially in the 1960s and the 1970s. And so when you watch the classic and you see the stretch of diversity that was happening in this show, and of course, you have to remember that in science fiction, people weren't scrutinizing it as much, thinking it's adolescence type viewing. you could get away with a lot more. And that's why women and people of color, and I'm talking about all races, black, Hispanic, Asian, and everyone that I have left out, they all had a guest spot on Doctor Who. And so, but also you have to, that's the special thing of science fiction. You're not being as scrutinized as like the favorite drama of the day. So within that, that's a freedom. That's a freedom that they used wisely.
I agree. So at this point, I think what we should probably do is just do a quick housekeeping. And also, I will say that we will continue this series. I will be picking the next episode, and that'll be a lot of fun. And we're going to do something from the reboot. And I got to talk to Rachel, and we'll figure out which doctor I can do, and then we'll take care of that. I do want to just talk about very briefly what's coming up this week, the rest of the week. Okay, so tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we do have a show set, and that is with Doc, and Doc and I are going to do a commentary watch on I Was a Teenage Frankenstein. A little bit of a change here. And that's a good thing, because Doc didn't really get anything in for Halloween, and he loves his cheesy science fiction, so we're going to have fun with that tomorrow. Okay? And then also on Friday, you've got Cathode Ray Mission, and Adam Ferenz will be with us heading that panel, and they're going to be talking about the director, Jean Vigo. Then on Saturday, now this is on Saturday, because Sunday is the Super Bowl. Saturday, TC is going to be doing Rock This Town, and it's the No Mush Love Song Show, which is basically all songs with the word love in it, but we're not talking about love story here. Okay, and that's what he's going to be doing on Saturday. I will also tell you that on Valentine's Day, we have a Down the Rabbit Hole with Rachel, and Rachel and I will be doing our anti-Valentine's music mix. So there you go. That's what we have set up. Vicki, why don't you give us a little bit about what's happening with the film?
Well, we've finished filming. We have one more voiceover to do, which will be an all-day thing on a weekend. And we're in post-production for most of the film, doing the CGI and the editing. The last thing that we'll have to do is put in the music, and then the film should be done by the end of May or early June. So until that time, I have really nothing else to say about it. Other than there's still a lot of work ahead.
Oh, I know you got a lot of work. Post-production's a bitch. I will tell you that on the 22nd, we don't have it set in time yet, but on the 22nd, we're going to have filmmaker Joe Black with us, and Vicki will be part of that show. We just have to set up the time, but I will tell you that it's the 22nd. He's in post-production on a film, too, and we'll talk about that. I want to thank you very, very much, Vicki, for being with us today. And it was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to doing this again. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. If there's anything I love Doctor Who. And I don't mind watching episodes of Doctor Who.
You watch them all the time anyway.
That's right. And I do my own commentary to nobody else but me.
Well, it was a real pleasure to have you on. And I want to thank you very much. I want to thank our listeners and our viewers who watched with us. And we will have another one probably within 2 to 3 weeks, probably at the end of February.
And we'll get that set up. Again, thank you very much. And I think at this point, it's time to say good afternoon, good night, good morning, whatever time it is for you.
Yes.
So say good night, Vicki.
Well, good night, everyone. Thanks for
good
watching.
Afternoon. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Good night. Thank you very much for watching and listening.